You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
The enduring mystery of the Zodiac Killer has both captivated and confounded investigators for decades. As the years pass without definite new leads, the task for solving this case becomes ever daunting. For many resolute researchers, the belief that crucial clues are still hidden somewhere, buried deep within this case, drives their relentless pursuit of the truth. This search is fueled by the conviction that despite the passage of time, the key to solving the case lies within the intricate web of ciphers, letters, and evidence left behind. There are two men we have not yet explored, suspects who have strikingly similar backgrounds and equally dubious pasts that have captured the attention of some of those greatly entrenched in the Zodiac investigation. They are compelling arguments. Weaved together, they include personal histories and psychological profiles that fit with the Zodiac Killer. However, whether or not either are correct remains an open question. This is a case that draws people in, a case with such a level of injustice, the desire to identify and capture this individual is unwavering. All in the hope of finally unmasking a serial killer who was hidden in the shadows for too long. In the late 1960s, Harvey Hines was a police officer based at the Sonora Police Department, a small city just over 130 miles from San Francisco. He first learned about the killer calling himself the Zodiac while taking community college criminal justice classes. The case fascinated him, and he started doing his own research, trying to understand as much as he could. It was a fascination that would stay with him throughout his career. In March 1971, journalist Paul Avery of the San Francisco Chronicle received a postcard believed to be from the Zodiac. It wasn't the first time this killer had targeted Avery as the receiver of his messages. The postcard was ambiguous. It contained various images cut from magazines and newspapers, along with words and phrases used together to create confusing messages. The words that jumped out included "Sought Victim 12, Peek Through the Pines, and Pass Lake Tahoe Areas." The predominant image was an artist's rendition of a new condo development in Nevada. Avery handed the postcard to the San Francisco police inspectors investigating the case. As the postcard was examined, there was a growing feeling that the Zodiac was suggesting his 12th victim could be found in Lake Tahoe, in Nevada, buried somewhere under the snow. There was one open case in Nevada that caught their attention. It was the case of 25-year-old missing nurse, Donna Lass. Harvey Hines heard about this new communication and the details of the last case. He was intrigued, and he started to make his own inquiries. While interviewing Donna's friends and colleagues, Hines learned about a man called Lawrence Kane. He was an interesting character who seemed to be apparent on the edges of Donna's day-to-day life. The more he followed this lead, the more his senses heightened. Larry Kane, as he was often known, had a dubious past. What struck Hines immediately, however, was his description. In 1970, when Donna last disappeared, Kane was 46 years old. He was described as 5'9" in height, weighing around 165 pounds with dark hair. It was a description that bore a striking similarity to that of the Zodiac Killer, described by three teens who saw him make his getaway from the scene of the Paul Stein murder in San Francisco in October 1969. As Hines delved deeper, he uncovered numerous aspects of Larry Kane's life that cast suspicion. Kane was a man of many aliases, reinventing himself and disguising his appearance on more than one occasion. This behavior aligned with the Zodiac's own claims of maintaining a separate, everyday persona to avoid capture. Kane had a close, almost dependent relationship with his mother, a bond that seemed to influence his actions, and perhaps even his criminal behavior. Kane joined the U.S. Naval Reserves, but was discharged after 7 months in 1943, when he was 19 years old. Doctors had diagnosed psychoneurosis hysteria, a condition characterized by uncontrollable emotional reactions and anxiety. Deep worry about his mother's ailing health was thought to be a strong contributing factor. Kane's criminal record stretched back to 1946, yet for 10 years between 1969 and 1979, there was an eerie silence. In August 1968, Kane was arrested for Peeping Tom offenses in Redwood City, about 27 miles south of San Francisco. This was just 4 months before the first Zodiac murders at Lake Herman Road in December of that year. It seemed, however, what fully set the stage for his descent was a serious car accident 6 years previously. On July 4, 1962, Kane suffered damage to the frontal lobe of his brain when the car he was traveling in crashed in Martinez, California. The damage led to personality changes. In a 1965 psychological assessment, he was described as struggling to control his impulses. The report stated he tended to engage in behaviors that provided immediate gratification. He also developed seizures, believed to be a direct result of his brain injuries. That same year, the Department of Motor Vehicles in Sacramento refused him a driver's license due to his brain injuries. Instead, he found ways to obtain fraudulent licenses to keep him on the road. What Hines found the most captivating, however, was Kane's connection to the victims of the Zodiac Killer. On July 4, 1969, the Zodiac Killer opened fire in the parking lot of Blue Rock Springs. He was aiming at Darlene Farron and Michael Maggio, who were inside Darlene's car. Darlene was killed and Michael survived. It was a haunting scene with no answers as to why it happened. Darlene's sisters, Linda and Pam, in the years after her murder, expressed that Darlene was being followed and stalked by a man that she was frightened of. It was information that didn't come to light at the time of the attack. When Hines spoke to them and showed them a photo lineup, both sisters identified Lawrence Kane as the man Darlene feared. It was a breakthrough for Hines. Kane's behavior following the murder was also suspicious. He changed his car just 5 days after the incident. It would seem logical that the Zodiac thought he had succeeded in killing both Darlene and Michael on that night. He had fired at them both multiple times at close range. His previous attack 6 months earlier at Lake Herman Road had resulted in the death of both of his victims, Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday. The discovery that Maggio somehow survived may have come as a shock to the killer, a survivor who may be able to describe his attacker. Later that year, when Paul Stein was murdered inside his cab in San Francisco, Kane was living in a hotel in the city. He was living less than 3 blocks from where it was believed Stein picked up his final passenger, the man who would take his life. The coincidences were unsettling. For Hines, his file on Lawrence Kane continued to expand. In 1969, just around the corner from Kane's hotel in San Francisco, the Lamplighter Theater Group was rehearsing The Mikado, a play referenced by the Zodiac in one of his letters. Donna Lass's disappearance on September 6, 1970, was another piece of the puzzle. It was a case Harvey Hines desperately wanted to solve and find answers for her family, who he remained in contact with for many years. She vanished from her shift from the Sahara Tahoe Hotel and Casino in Stateline, Nevada. Before moving to Nevada, Donna had worked at Letterman General Hospital in the Presidio Heights area of San Francisco, not far from where Paul Stein was killed. She lived just 6 blocks from the murder site. Larry Kane relocated to South Lake Tahoe shortly after Donna Lass. He began working at the same hotel, selling real estate from an office in the same corridor as the nurse's station. The day after Donna vanished, a man caller informed her landlord and employer that she had left due to a family emergency. This caller has never been identified. 6 months later, the Zodiac postcard highlighting his possible 12th victim in the Lake Tahoe area landed in the mailbox of the San Francisco Chronicle. That same year, Kane left Lake Tahoe and moved to Las Vegas. Hines believed he had found a significant clue in one of the Zodiac's coded messages. On April 20th, 1970, the Zodiac sent a letter, including a 13-symbol cipher, to the San Francisco Chronicle. The letter threatened to blow up a school bus and taunted police for not cracking his previous cipher. It became known as the "My Name is Cipher," with the killer teasing his name could be found within the solution.
Lots of people think the infamous Zodiac killer is dead and that his mysterious code has died with him. But there's a cop in Central California who says he can prove otherwise. Doug Kriegel has details in part two of our exclusive report, California Killers Still at Large.
Springtime in the California wine country is the most glorious part of the year. But local police are still regularly reminded of Zodiac, the uncaptured killer who claims to have murdered more than 30 people. Here in the Napa Valley, police are still getting calls about Zodiac.
People have this mystique about this killer who has baffled the police and baffled the media, and that nobody can solve his cryptic code.
The secret code created by the Zodiac killer was mailed to California newspapers and police. Now this homicide investigator in Central California claims he has broken the code.
He put in 3 circled 8s, used 3 A's. And perhaps that could be his date of birth. 3 A's or 24, perhaps he was born in 1924.
Detective Harvey Hines of Escalon says his analysis of these cryptic symbols reveals the Zodiac's name is Kane.
We also have another clue. He installed another clue in the cryptogram. It reads name Kane or name Kane, C-A-N-E, reading from right to left. and perhaps that would be his ethnic background. Hebrew reads from right to left, perhaps he's Jewish. So if we take the zodiac for his word here, his name is Cain, K-A-N-E, his name is Cain, C-A-N-E, born in 1924 under the sign of Taurus, with a Jewish background.
Indeed, there is a man who used the name Cain, who has a criminal record, who was born in 1924. He's an ex-mental patient who fits the profile of the Zodiac killer. The man called Cain now lives in rural Northern California, but he hasn't been arrested.
No one would take it serious, I believe, because I was an outsider. I had no vested interest in it. And what could a small-town cop accomplish that they couldn't accomplish?
The connections between Lawrence Cain and the Zodiac Killer, though compelling, have always remained circumstantial. Despite his efforts, Hines was unable to convince senior officers to take his research forward about Cain. As Hines stared at the web of connections he had painstakingly mapped out, he, like many others before and after him, couldn't shake the feeling that he was close, yet so far from the truth. 2 months before Donna Lass and Lawrence Cain separately moved to Nevada, Kathleen Johns was abducted at the roadside with her baby after her car was sabotaged. She was taken on a terrifying car ride around the city of Modesto before she managed to escape hours later. At the police station, she spotted the Zodiac Killer wanted poster and exclaimed that was the man who had abducted her. In 1992, the year Harvey Hines retired from the California Police Department, Kathleen Johns identified Larry Cain from a photo lineup as the man who abducted her on that night in March 1970. Lawrence Cain was never arrested or charged with any crime concerning the Zodiac killings. Experts who have examined Cain's handwriting felt they could not rule him out as a suspect based on similarities to the handwriting in the Zodiac letters. None of the fingerprints on the Zodiac files have ever been linked to Larry Cain. Cain lived out his later years relatively quiet, though always under the psychological issues stemming from his 1962 car crash. He died on May 20th, 2010, in Reno, Nevada, at the age of 86. Hines' investigation highlighted Cain's eerie resemblance to the Zodiac's physical description, his proximity to the crime scenes, and his disturbing behavior patterns. However, the evidence was entirely circumstantial. As years have passed, new theories and new suspects have emerged, each bringing a fresh perspective to this mystery. In 2021, a group of cold case investigators, called the Case Breakers, made headlines by claiming they had finally unmasked the infamous murderer. Their suspect was Gary Francis Post, a name that had previously flown under the radar until he died in 2018. The Case Breakers group includes former law enforcement officers, FBI, and intelligence agents who work together to try and solve unsolved cases. In 2020, they were approached by journalist Dale Julin and a group of residents from a small town approximately 142 miles from San Francisco called Groveland. They had a briefcase of information against Gary Post, who lived in the town, and had built up a wall of suspicion around his activities. Dale Julin, like Harvey Hines with Larry Cain, believed he had found Post's name within some of the Zodiac ciphers. The group said they had spoken to authorities about Post years previously, but the information was not followed up or returned to them. Gary Post had moved to Groveland in 1970. He was married and seemed to live a quiet life. However, beneath this facade, there was a darker story Post spent much of his time with a group of men in the area, many of whom were known for causing trouble. The case breakers believed Post was the leader of this group, providing direction and motivation, though often steering them toward criminal activities. The breakthrough in the case breakers' investigation came from a whistleblower, once a member of Post's group, and, as he later claimed, his stepson. Chris Avery reached out to the case breakers with troubling recollections. Avery shared that Post had taught the group how to make bombs and encouraged them to commit property damage. He painted a picture of a man with little conscience.
Has the Zodiac Killer been identified? A group of volunteers known as the Casebreakers claims to have solved this mystery. They say their evidence points to a man named Gary Post, who died in 2018. Casebreaker says it is now trying to get law enforcement currently investigating the case to test Post's DNA against evidence.
Now CBS 13's Melina Jones is live in Groveland, where Post lived for years, uncovering new information tonight. Melina.
Well, this is an area where everyone knows each other. Well, some say the rumors are true. Other neighbors still have their doubts that the man who lived near them for years could be the famed serial killer in a town of just 1,500 people. In this quiet, tightly knit town in Groveland.
Still taking it in, I guess.
The rumors have circulated for years.
This is a 10-year-old rumor.
But for Brian Platson, Gary Post, who used to live in this house, was just the quiet neighbor next door.
Very introverted, kind of. You had to, like, you know, it took a while for us to talk, but we talked quite a bit.
Platson, never suspecting Post could be a killer.
Too nice of a guy. Too mellow, too nice. I mean, he hit it very well.
I looked up to Gary Post as an uncle. I used to cut his hair. I spent nights at his house.
For others like Gwen, who grew up with Gary and his wife Mary babysitting her, after a revelation from a 2018 conversation, there's no question in her mind, Post is the man some suspect him to be.
1,000%, I do believe I grew up next door to the Zodiac.
What makes you so sure that he is the Zodiac Killer?
I did talk to his wife. The first words out of her mouth was, Gary's a very bad man, and I'm sorry I didn't tell the cops about what he has done.
Gwen, while confident Gary lived a double life, still heartbroken, the man she considered family could be tied to the notorious serial killer.
One of the most compelling arguments that case breakers presented was Post's possible connection to the murder of Sherry Jo Bates in Riverside in 1966. They claimed that at the time of her murder, Post had been at a health checkup at March Air Force Base Hospital, just 15 minutes away from the crime scene. The wristwatch found at the scene was spattered with paint, a detail that seemed to link it to Post, who was a house painter at the time. Additionally, Post's shoe size matched the prints found at some Zodiac crime scenes and at the scene of Sherry's killing. In 1959, Gary Post had a serious car accident, and in a similar manner to Larry Kane, he suffered brain injuries as a result. Post crashed in Clinton, Indiana, when he was 22 years old, required extensive treatment. He recovered over time but was left with multiple distinctive scars on his forehead. The case breakers highlighted these scars as matching the lines on the artist's sketch of the Zodiac Killer, based on witness statements from the Paul Stein murder scene in San Francisco. However, this claim was contentious, as others argued that the lines in the sketch were simply part of the artist's drawing and not part of the witness statements as identifying the facial features of the killer. In a press release in 2023, the case breakers asserted that Post had been secretly listed as a Zodiac suspect in the FBI files since 2016. A source who wished to remain anonymous from inside the FBI is said to have passed this information on to them. The case breakers managed to find a hacking mat that belonged to Post and extracted a DNA profile from it. They asked five different university labs to compare this DNA to a known blood relative of Post. The results showed similarities, giving further strength to their belief they have a genuine sample of Gary Post's DNA that could be used for comparison. On February 22, 2016, police officers in Groveland were called to the home of Gary Post. They found Post's wife, Mary, on the ground and unable to get up. She reported Post had pushed her against the wall, causing her to fall. When she arrived at the hospital, they found four pelvic fractures. Mary was 74 years old. 2 days later, Post was charged with injury to a spouse and elder abuse. These were charges that came with a possible 16 years in prison. In 2017, Gary Post was found mentally incompetent to stand trial. He was taken to an inpatient psychiatric facility. Post died a year later, on August 23, 2018, from sepsis and vascular dementia. Gary Post's identity as the Zodiac Killer, like Kane's, was far from conclusively proven. The Vallejo and San Francisco detectives had investigated Post, gathered his DNA, and conducted interviews, but stopped short of confirming him as the killer. The FBI, too, remained silent, neither endorsing nor dismissing the casebreakers' claims. The mystery of the Zodiac Killer, with his chilling letters and cryptic ciphers, remains unsolved. Yet for the families of the victims and the investigators who have spent years seeking justice, the revelations about Gary Post added another layer to the complex and haunting puzzle. Whether or not he was the Zodiac, his story served as a reminder of the shadows that can lurk behind the most unassuming facades. The biggest barricade in advancing any potential suspect in the Zodiac case is the lack of concrete evidence. Numerous individuals have been suspected as suspects over the years, but only Arthur Lee Allen has been officially named by law enforcement. Despite extensive investigations, no further action was taken against Allen because there was no solid evidence against him. Circumstantial evidence is compelling and can be convincing, but building an entire case based on only its presence is entering dangerous territory. For five decades, the family members of those killed by the Zodiac and the two who were injured have lived with this ongoing, unresolved anguish. That this individual chose to take lives and then simply walk away and carry on with their own life with full freedom. He has gotten away with murder multiple times over. The families of these victims want justice for their loved ones. Those victims themselves deserve justice. Law enforcement agencies and dedicated investigators across the country have tried to capture this man. They also feel a sense of injustice at his escape and have carried the heavy responsibility that they should be the ones to catch him. Without definite proof, the Zodiac case remains one of the most enigmatic and unsolved mysteries in criminal history. Yet there is a persistent hope that someday conclusive answers will come to light.
You have five new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.